Welcome to this edition of Spotlight on the Word. The Bible is a book by God and about God and the relationship He wants to have with you. And that makes the Bible the most important and the most precious book ever written because it's about the relationship He wants to have with us in Jesus Christ. Spotlight on the Word is a special series of studies that introduces each of the books of the Bible, showing us something of the greatness of God and especially the greatness of Jesus Christ from each one as we study together. In this particular study, we are to look at 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. When we look at these particular books, how do they relate to Jesus and His gospel? They are letters from the Apostle Paul written by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, and they tell us much about how the church should relate Jesus and the gospel to the world. When you look at 1 Timothy, the idea is this: protect Jesus and the gospel. Guard Jesus and the gospel. It's such a precious trust that's been committed to our care. 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21. When one looks at the book of 2 Timothy, how does it relate to Jesus and the gospel? Well, if 1 Timothy is guard Jesus and the gospel, protect the purity of Jesus and His gospel, 2 Timothy is proclaim Jesus and His gospel. And then one comes to the book of Titus. In our English translations, in our copies of God's Word, what we'll see in the book of Titus is this: live Jesus and the gospel. So protect or guard Jesus and the gospel, 1 Timothy, proclaim Jesus and His gospel, 2 Timothy, and then Titus, live Jesus and the gospel. And Titus 3, verse 8, to be careful to maintain good works. As we look at these particular books, 1 Timothy can be dated about 64 AD. Then when we look at the book of 2 Timothy, it's dated about 67 AD by most Bible students. And then the book of Titus. Titus is dated at 65 or 66 AD, so written shortly after 1 Timothy, but just before 2 Timothy. At least that's the view of most Bible scholars. As we look at 1 Timothy, here are a couple of key passages to keep in mind. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3, Paul admonishes Timothy to charge. He gives this charge that others teach no other doctrine, that the doctrine that is to be taught is the pure and simple gospel of Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Continuing, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 is a key passage. 1 Timothy 3, 15, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Yet again, a key passage from 1 Timothy. Here's a third one to think about. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. If you put the brethren in mind of these things, you will be a good minister of the doctrine, nourished up in the words of the faith and the doctrine that you've attained. We should all seek to be good servants, good ministers concerning the doctrine, the precious teaching of Jesus Christ. Well, here is a simple outline, a simple breakdown of the six chapters that make up the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1, there is a great emphasis upon doctrine, upon teaching, upon instruction. The people of God must be concerned about the purity and the wholesomeness of its teaching. Secondly, look at chapter 2. There is an emphasis upon worship. Worship. giving God praise and honor and glory through the avenues that He desires. We are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4 and verse 24 and 1 Timothy 2 talks about the importance of prayer and submission in the expression of worship to God. In 1 Timothy 3, the people of God, the church of God, the blood-bought people of God, Acts 20 and verse 28, they are people that emphasize godly leadership. Biblical elders and deacons are described in this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 3, at a time when many churches have no organization that remotely resembles the teaching of the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 3 is quite simply a passage that must be reckoned with, and it cannot be explained away. 1 Timothy chapter 4. When we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, there is an emphasis, a stress laid upon service, and how important the service of God's people is to each other and to those in the world. In chapter 5, 1 Timothy emphasizes relationships. Relationships, relating to the widows, relating to those who are older, relating to those who preach the gospel. Yes, it's important that we emphasize healthy, wholesome relationships in the body of Christ. And then finally, in chapter 6, there is an emphasis, stress laid upon the people of God, the church of God, and their priorities, especially as it concerns material possessions. Godliness with contentment is great gain, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, and yet at the same time, the love of money is the root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6 verses 9 and 10. Well, let's briefly look a little more closely at this book. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice the portrait of God that is given in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. He is a God. He is a God who is merciful, verse 13. He is a God, secondly, verse 14, who is a caring God who gives grace. He is a faithful God, 1 Timothy 1, 15. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. That's what Paul says. He's so humble as he thinks about what God has done for him in Jesus. 1 Timothy 1, 16 emphasizes the patience of God. God has been so patient with me, Paul says. And then you look at verse 17, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever. Amen." He is the King. God is the King. And so you have this marvelous and comprehensive portrait of God. The church is to be known for its doctrine, and a great view of God and teaching is crucial to being the people of God in every era. In 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20, it's possible to make shipwreck of the faith, to reject the truth, to blaspheme, and one wonders how you ever get once saved, always saved, out of 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20. In 1 Timothy 2, there is a stress given to worship and to approaching God, and how the people of God will always be concerned about worshiping Him properly, lest the words of Matthew 15, 8 and 9 be true. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. In 1 Timothy 3, there is an emphasis upon godly and biblical leadership in our churches, in our local congregations. Mentioned first are elders, also called bishops or shepherds. Acts 20, verses 17 through 38, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Elders are men of maturity. Chronologically speaking, they are also men of maturity, spiritually speaking. That's why they're called elders. But secondly, they're also men of management or stewardship because they have the care of a local congregation entrusted to them, the oversight of the work and the souls of people in a local setting. 1 Timothy chapter 5, as well as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, Hebrews 13, 17. You look again at these men called elders, and their qualifications are described in 1 Timothy 3 here. They are also men of heart. They have the hearts of shepherds. They care for souls. They want to provide what is needed spiritually for souls, and they make sure that the people of God are properly fed. Chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4 deals with good service to the Lord, and every Christian should be greatly concerned about giving good service to God and representing Him well before not only brothers and sisters in Christ, but before the world. In chapter 5, there's an emphasis, a stress laid again upon relationships. Brothers and sisters in Christ we are. How we connect, how we relate, says so very much about our effectiveness in reaching out to others and in our relationship with God up above. One looks at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and notice how Christianity is described. In 1 Timothy 6, it's talked about as the quest for godliness to be pursued. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11, the verse is 11. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, Christianity is a battle to be fought. Fight the good fight of faith. As you look at 1 Timothy 6 and verses 13 and 14, it is a charge, a sacred trust to be kept. That's what Christianity is. When you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and you read verses 14 and following, it is something to be graciously shared. When you look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 and 21, it is, O Timothy, guard that which has been committed to your trust. Yes, protect Jesus and the gospel. Guard Jesus and the gospel. Now we come to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, again, was written around 67 A.D., and it's been well said concerning 2 Timothy, it could be called his swan song. It may well be the last book that he ever wrote. And in 2 Timothy, we see something of the passion and emotion of Paul, because Paul had served the Lord faithfully for many years, but he is imprisoned in 2 Timothy, and from this prison there will be no release. On earth, his release will come by being a martyr and going to be with the Lord. Someone said that it is impossible to read 2 Timothy without a mist coming over the eyes. It is a very moving and emotional document. One looks at 2 Timothy, and the four chapters that make up the book can be divided quite easily into four sections. How does 2 Timothy relate to Jesus and the gospel? Preach Jesus and the gospel, 2 Timothy 4, 2. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1 indicates that we are to hold to Jesus and the gospel. Verse 13, hold to the pattern of sound words which you've seen in me, in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul doesn't have a great deal of time left on this earth. He writes Timothy and he says, hold to Jesus and His gospel. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, suffer for Jesus and His gospel. You can tell a lot about an individual by what they are willing to suffer for without complaint, without criticism, without whining, without any type of negativism. Yes, Paul was like Jesus, suffering for what was right, suffering for the name of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, continue in Jesus and the gospel. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17. And then proclaim Jesus and His gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Well, let's focus a little more on this particular book. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, hold to Jesus and His gospel. Hold to the pattern of sound words. Healthy teaching, wholesome teaching. It is so important for God's people in every age to be vitally interested in what is wholesome and healthy spiritually. Many of us would never think of eating garbage. We wouldn't think of eating what would be harmful to our bodies, and yet we are all too quick to take in what is harmful to our souls. Hold to the pattern of sound words. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice verse 1. Timothy, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong in God's grace. And then a number of pictures are given of a faithful servant of God, of a faithful Christian. A faithful Christian is a good steward. The things which you've received in me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to others who will in turn teach others, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Four generations are mentioned, and when we take God's word and faithfully pass it on to the next generation, we are doing what God approves of. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's also the picture of serving God as a farmer, as an athlete, as a type of person who is a good workman, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a vessel that's clean and useful, 2 Timothy 2, 20 through 22, and as a servant of the Lord, 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. As we think about this, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in some ways, it is such a tragic chapter. Perilous times will come. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the wrong type of love abounds. Look at 2 Timothy 3 verses 2 and following. The wrong kind of love is everywhere to be seen. It's everywhere to be found. Notice what is said. People have a form of godliness, but they deny the power, verse 5 and verse 7. People are ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And then Paul says, but you. Notice this. Though wicked men may become worse and worse, verse 13, but you, verse 14. But you continue in the things that you've learned, knowing from whom you've learned them. Have this assurance that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise through faith that is in Christ Jesus, and that every Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, that the man of God might be complete and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. God's word would help Timothy during difficult times, and God's word will do the same for us in this and every other day. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall never pass away. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Your word have I esteemed more than my necessary food. Your word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Your word was found, and I did eat it. Oh, how we need to stress the teaching, the doctrine, the word of God, to be able to deal with times of great turbulence and difficulty in our old world. In chapter 4, Paul says, preach the word. You'll encounter many obstacles, many difficulties, but preach the word. Do this when people like it, and do it when they don't. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Paul would go on trial in Rome. At his first defense, no one would stand up for him. Will anyone stand up and say a word on behalf of Paul? And not one soul stood up on Paul's behalf. Yet there were Christians in Rome. Were they afraid? Were they scared? In all likelihood, yes. But no one stood up for him. And Paul says, but the Lord stood with me, and I was delivered out of the lion's mouth, and that he proclaimed the precious gospel of God, the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ. Even when he was on trial, he turned the tables. He proclaimed Jesus. He put Rome on trial before God. What a great God we serve. proclaim God's Word, protect God's Word, and now the book of Titus, live God's Word. Live God's Word. Titus consists of three chapters. Chapter 1 deals with church organization, and chapters 2 and 3 deal with Christian obligation because we love Jesus and want to follow His will. When you look at chapter 1, we have this idea in church organization. In the first place, God's Word must be faithfully proclaimed, Titus 1, 1 through 4. In the second place, we must appoint biblically qualified leaders, Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. And in the third place, as it concerns church organization, what one is to do is to silence false teachers. While it is true that leaders of the church have a special responsibility in that area, leaders of the church are not the only ones that have the responsibility to silence false teachers. As we look at Titus chapters 2 and 3, Christian obligation, how this is how real Christians will act. It is about relationships that honor Jesus with our words, with our works. Notice the emphasis throughout the book of Titus on soundness, health, wholeness, and it regards everything from speech to adorning the doctrine of God. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Speak the things that become sound doctrine. Titus 2 and verse 1. Be careful to maintain good works. Titus 3 and verse 8. Well, we look at the great book of Titus, and it's about relating to others. Those who are older, those who are younger, to relate to the government, to relate to our employer, our employee relationships, even how one relates to those who are divisive. Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, after the first and second admonition, a divisive person refuse. Because he sins and is subverted and is self-condemned. It's very important for us to be concerned about church obligations, how we relate to one another within the framework of God's truth. So Titus reminds us to live the gospel. 2 Timothy reminds us to proclaim the gospel. 1 Timothy reminds us, protect the gospel. What a powerful and practical message for all people of every age.